glad somebody touched me.
Amen.
March the 30th, 1970. Amen. Coming up on the 48th year. It's been good. I grew up in a church most of my early life that believed you could get it and lose it. And from 11 to about 15, I think I got it and lost it about four or five times. And then later on, I thought the Lord had saved me. I woke up in a hotel room one night thinking the Lord was coming and asked the Lord to save me, but I really didn't mean it, and I lasted about lunchtime the next day. And so when I got saved, when it come down to the end of the revival and things were settling down, the devil told me, said, well, you can go back doing what you always did before. But you know what? I haven't been able to. Haven't been perfect, but I haven't been able to. Brother was talking about Savannah Faust. She was a real friend of mine up there. Pray for her husband, Lou. He's in the hospital. They put him in yesterday, Steve.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, we just found out this morning he's in the hospital. He's like 89 years old. And so some of you may know him. But we're going to be looking in John chapter 4. But I want to share something with you this morning before we get into that. On the first of this month, on a Thursday, I was in at the Elmwood Baptist Church in Martha, West Virginia, outside of Huntington, West Virginia, for the Tri-State Pastors Fellowship. I invited to be one of the speakers there, and that's pastors and preachers from Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia. That's all right there in that corner where they come together. And a guy that spoke ahead of me was with Bible and Genesis, I think what it was, and he had some slides and stuff on about the flood and speculating how it was going, but he was talking about these scientists that didn't believe in any of that. And one that he showed was a cosmologist and a physicist, Stephen Hawking, the guy that with the ALS, you know, Lou Gehrig disease, in a wheelchair, is supposed to be a mind next to Einstein and all that. And he said this plainly, God does not exist. Last night, checking my smartphone, I'll check the Fox News such and such, and the big headline was, at the age of 76, Steve Hawking left this world. And I happen to think the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I guarantee you he knows he exists now. Oh, listen. He's real. Thank God he's real. He loves me. I was taught at an early age about God. I've never had a doubt that God existed, to be honest with you. I just thought there was a way to get around having to go to hell, you know, until finally one day, after playing religion, one day I finally saw that I needed to get saved, and God saved me and gave me something new. Nobody had to tell me to start going to church. Nobody had to start telling me that I had to give. Nobody had to tell me to quit doing this or that. There was something inside of me. The Holy Ghost began to teach me and train me. And that's what happened here in John chapter 4 with this lady at the well. We know for time's sake, I'm not going to read all the scripture. I don't know what it is. I always get called to preach as the last preacher before lunch. And you see, I haven't been late getting there. I guarantee you, most of the time I preach, it's the one before lunch. That in West Virginia. Went to a fellowship, a camp meeting last summer over in Kernersville, and the pastor, I was the last one he called on before lunch. But this woman, remember, Jesus must needs go through Samaria. You know, I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ never took a wrong step. Never said a wrong word, never made a mistake, never took the wrong direction. I don't care what this bunch says today. I like to think, I ask people a lot of time, I ask the cults, what think you of Christ? You believe he was God incarnate in the flesh. Or you get a hold of the Jehovah Witness, and that tears them up.
Yeah.
They'll look at you like a deer in headlights. You saying he's deity? Well, God's Word says that.
That's right.
Back in December, I was in the Love Field. That's the small airport in Dallas. That was the only airport they had when John Kennedy came to Dallas and was assassinated. And if you fly southwest, you go through Love Field. My brother and I had been to the ball game. I had taken him back to Dallas-Fort Worth Airport for him to fly out. And I had an early morning flight, so I said, just save hotel money. I'll stay the night in the airport. And I found me a bench to lay on, put my coat under it. But I seen something laying there on one of the stands, magazine stands. It said, awake. A little paper, of course, I picked it up, turned it over, and it said JW.org on it. And I knew what it was. They've got away from putting Watchtower on it, and they're trying to deceive you with that, you know. So I just stuck it down a slide zipper on my suitcase. I said, I'll look at that later. Well, the other day, I finally pulled it out of that suitcase. I stayed up in West Virginia with my brother a couple of days or so, and I pulled that thing out. And it's when I was up there preaching in that church. And then I looked at it and didn't really read anything. So the other day I sat down at my desk with it a minute, and I just read one page, one story in there, and it had to do about the name of God. They put so much emphasis on Jehovah. And they said in there, some people say that Jesus was Jehovah. Now this is verbatim. Jesus is not God. They're wrong.
Amen.
So I went down to my library yesterday looking at some things and got to thinking about it. I have my father-in-law, he died in 2000 as a preacher, have his library, and he was one that would look into what the enemy had to say. And I was surprised when I got all these books that he had a New World Translation Bible in there, the Jehovah Witness Bible. And he would get them in his house and let them in and then begin to question them. And they couldn't answer it. And he'd get between them and the door, and they'd be pulling at their shirt collar and everything else before he'd let them out. But it said in there, remember, in John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, with God, and the Word was God. But they say the Word was a God. Well, that's going against what God said. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And they're saying there's other gods in heaven. And I think, how foolish. But I want to tell you this day, this Samaritan woman came. Jesus, who never took a wrong turn, never took a wrong step, never said a wrong word, never did anything wrong. I don't care when he was, even before his ministry began, he's working in the carpenter shop.
Amen.
Some years ago at Fruitland Bible Institute, some of you may know Brother Larry Winkler, a great preacher from out of the mountains. He pastors there now, but he's been preaching since he's 8 years old. He was a student at Fruitland. Fruitland had become liberal. The man had started and sold it out when the convention was liberal. And now it's changed back to what it was started at. But some man got up, a professor got up, and he said, I believe that when Jesus Christ was working with Joseph in the carpenter shop, if he hit his thumb with the hammer, he let out something he probably shouldn't have let out. And Brother Winkler stood up and said, don't you ever accuse my Lord of saying something he shouldn't have said. You ever stop to think about it? Jesus, when he drove a nail, he couldn't hit his thumb. God, he drove it perfect. You want a perfect piece of furniture? This looks good. Buy one that Jesus made. It wouldn't be off one silly fragment. He couldn't do anything unperfect. And so he had a reason of going through Samaria where the Jews did not want to go through. God has a reason. God has a reason. And he cometh to the city of Samaria, verse number 5, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey and set to thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knowest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee a living water. And so then she begins to question him, saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself, his children, his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of water springing into everlasting life. I want to tell you, when Jesus Christ came into my life, I never wanted any other thing that religion has to offer. I never needed another book to tell me that I got to equal that with the Bible. I never needed any of that. I've got what it takes. I've got a drink, and I never thirst again for anything. Oh, the flesh may want something, but I'll tell you, the spirit wants nothing but him. Remember, we have the battle with the flesh. She said, give me to drink. He said unto her, said, go get your husband. See, this woman was a harlot. She came in the time of the day when nobody else comes. She's kind of looked down upon. Let me tell you, there's people out here today that they're living terrible lives. And there was a time when I was involved in sin that I don't even want to talk about. It's under the blood. Let's leave it there. But she said, I have no husband. He said, rightly you said, but you've had five husbands, and the man that you're living with now is not your husband. I want to tell you, if living with somebody out of wedlock had been okay, I don't think he would have brought it up. You can't get that across to these people today. It's wrong. Go get him. Get him. Boy, I tell you, when we come to where Jesus is, there's some changes takes place, isn't it? I remember the first time I went to Nigeria. I do work with national pastors in Nigeria in 2005. The first time I went on a Friday, we had been teaching in the church that week and preaching in schools. But we started a day that was, I didn't realize how it was going to turn out in traveling. But one, I think it may be the day before, one of our travels, we'd go so many places and preached. In that week, I preached 15 times. And we went by a little arbor. Open arbor, and some people were having church, and we stopped, and the guy that had invited me there, he said, take about 10 minutes to speak to these people. Well, if you got something from God, you can do something in 10 minutes. And I just brought up this text and preached about this lady, about what God did to her. And when I got done, this 47-year-old lady walked up with a Bible under her arm. She said, I want to drink of that water and I'll never thirst again.
Amen.
And had the privilege to lead her to the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, think about that. Have you had that drink? This woman came with a bucket. Oh, one day I had a bucket, didn't have much in it. But he sent her back with a spring of living water. The bucket couldn't hold what she got from him. This world cannot contain what God gives to us in his blessings. We like to sing that, think about that. We want to get blessed that our cup overflows and runs across the saucer and out and all that, and that's good. But I want to tell you, I have not seen, ear have not heard what God has prepared for us. One day we're going home. Thank God. This robe of flesh will drop and rise. I think about the rapture. I always tell people, hope you don't hinder me when I take, if you've not been near me when the rapture takes place, you better duck. Because when this old robe of flesh drops, there's going to be a couple of metal knees come out of it, dentures, hearing aids, and I don't know what else by that time. The only thing you won't have to worry about getting hit with is money. I never have any. But one day, thank God, listen, she came with an empty bucket and he sent her back with a spring of living water. She went back different. She came. Thank God I came out of the church that night different than I went in. God had been convicting me for a week. And that night, first night of extension of a meeting that started on a Monday through Saturday back then. And God, finally the Holy Spirit, broke through my heart. Each night I would sit there wondering what God had, but couldn't let go of the things of the world. Now that's a bad shape to get in. Oh, don't let them. They talked about extending. Oh, Lord, let them extend this thing. Oh, don't let them stop it. But at the same time, you don't want to get in. And finally, the message on Monday night was the message for me. You see, I like the things of the world. People say I was really smart in that I could tell them I know I needed to be saved, but I sure liked living like I was living. See, I sought the worldly pleasures. And that night, the speaker got up to preach. I don't know what his text we got it from, what book. He said, I want to speak tonight on three guards that the devil has that keep people from going to heaven. I don't know what the first one was, and I don't know what the second one was. But the third one was the guard of worldly pleasure. Boy, that hit home. And when he said, I want you to stand to your feet, I was standing at the front of the church. It didn't take long to get there. And God saved me. Amen. God saved me. I didn't know that day, Brother Frank, I didn't know what was going to take in my life that I would eventually come to North Carolina, eventually start preaching, eventually pastor, eventually be on the radio, eventually teach in a Bible Institute. After going there, I never knew all that. Then I never knew I would go somewhere in this world and preach the gospel. But God did. God worked it out. So this woman, she came with a bucket, and he sent her back with a spring of living water. She came as a reject, and he sent her back being accepted of God himself. Amen. Has any of you ever heard the message that Dr. Harold B. Seitler preached on Can God? Yes. If you ever can get a hold of it, you get a hold of it. Because he tells a story of a woman writing him a letter who listened to him on the radio. She was from Greensboro. And he tells the story how that she wrote the letter and said she'd lived the hardest life. She had children. She'd lost children. She'd had every kind of venereal disease you could have. She was just a reprobate. And she wanted to know if there was any help for her. And old Brother Seitler said he sat down with tears in his eyes and typed her a letter out and let her know there was a bomb in Gilead.
Amen.
And she got saved. He said later on he was in Greensboro, the meeting, and pastor, his wife took him out to eat at the cafeteria. And he wanted to tell this pastor about the woman. He couldn't remember her name. He wanted the pastor to follow her up and see if maybe he could bring her into the church and baptize her and all. And said he just couldn't think of it and said, all of a sudden, a little girl come up to him and said, this is for you. And it said on the envelope, Bright Spot Hour. It was a, you know, offering for his radio broadcast. And my mother thought it was you, and she said, just save her from mailing it, give it to you. And when he turned it over, there was that woman's name on the back. Wow. Here she was, sitting just across the room from him. He said, I excuse myself. And I went over there, and both of us with tears running down our face. Said, I tell you, he said, we rejoiced. We hugged one another. We rejoiced right there in that cafeteria and said, you mean that you've got that close to that old reprobate? He said, what God has cleansed, let no man call common or unclean. She's no longer a reject. She's a child of God. Oh, she came as a reject, but she's been accepted by God himself. And what God has accepted, nobody can turn away. She came wounded. See, her heart, her life was scarred with sin. We see it out here all the time. Life was scarred with sin. Many over the years have gotten saved, but he sent her back whole. Her body might have been destroyed some on the outside, but I want to tell you in the inside, it was new. It was new. It wasn't what it was to start with. She came laden with questions. She said, well, you know, if they worship Jerusalem, our fathers, we worship, you know the story how that Jeroboam set up worship in Samaria and the golden calves at Dan and Bethel and all that to keep the people from going back to Jerusalem. They're thinking they might stay. And they became a false worship, a sinful worship. And she said, but which is right? But he had the answer. He had the answer for him. He sent her back as a source for answers. Instead of asking questions, she was going to be able to answer questions for others. You see, they were going to see something new in this woman. Can't you imagine those men, when she comes back, they said, here comes that heart again. Let's see how much we can rib her. Let's see what kind of a hard time we can give her. But I'll tell you what, she came in. She said, come see a man that told me all things. Is this not the Messiah? Is this not the one we've been learning about and looking for? Oh, it's different now.
Amen.
I tell you, when the Lord gets a hold of you, he changes you. People can see a difference. There's a difference. She came living a life of quiet desperation, but she ran back overflowing with hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, he's all there is. Ravi Zacharias said this in his book on Jesus and Other Gods. A fulfilled life is one that has the will of God as its focus, not the appetite of the flesh. Boy, I tell you, we want to do God's will, don't we? God deals with us when we don't. We're not perfect. Now, the disciples come back. Oh, they come back. They went shopping. I don't know. They might have bought, we'd think about ribeyes and stuff like that. You know, they come back. They came back with meat. They came back thinking of only the material things. In verse number 31, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Isn't it good to eat at the table of the Lord? To sit down and eat. You get a hold of something that tastes so good, you want it again, don't you? You want some more of it. Let me tell you, in 48 years almost, there's times I have been tired physically, But I've never been tired of serving God and going to church. There's times I may have been sick, couldn't go, and there's times I have walked in when I got saved and then later started preaching where I would be tired. I had a job, a management job, which I put in hours, and I'd get there and not even have time to take a uniform off and come to Wednesday night prayer meeting. And so tired, and I'd sit down in the first row and just sit there in a few moments and begin to feel the presence of God. And I'd forget about my physical tiredness and think about the strength of the Lord. Like one of the dear preachers said one time up there in West Virginia, some of his family believed in getting it and losing it all, said, told him, said, you know, said, Gene, said, you never fell out of the way, did you? He said, no. He said, I've been up and down a lot over the years, but I've never been in and out. Now we get up and down, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody would tell you, I don't care who they are, if they, listen, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, full of God, loaded with the Holy Ghost. I mean, preached to thousands, and we all love his books, and we cherish the books and all that. But there was times that he got down, he got depressed, he had to go off and get away and get with God. And anybody try to tell you they don't, there's something wrong. But the disciples thought only of the food, the material things, but Jesus was rejoicing over the spiritual things. You know, the harvest is now. The harvest is now. The fields are white with harvest, and we need laborers. That's what usually when we send out our prayer letter, we put down under our name, Matthew 9. I think it's 36 through 38, like that. Look out on the fields, they're white in the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, he send forth laborers. We need people to go. But there's somewhere in our life, there's a Samaritan woman. Somebody that needs God. Brother Steve heard the man, we heard him in the mission conference before. A man who was a Jew, still, you know, child of Abraham, Brother Bill Martin called him, but a child of God. Orthodox Jew. 12 years old, hurrying home from school. It's the time of the Passover. Hurrying home from school, the roasting of the lamb. And a woman came off her porch and grabbed him by the arm and said, you Jews are still roasting lambs. Don't you know that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, had died for the sins of the world? And he never got over that. He never got over it. In fact, the rabbi at the synagogue throwed him out when he said that to him. But later on, to make a long story short, later on, he skipped school one afternoon there in northern Jersey, New Jersey, to go to Shea Stadium. That's when the Mets were young in the early 60s, to the ball game. But he got his dates mixed up. There wasn't no ball game at Shea Stadium that night. There was a Billy Graham crusade. And he said, right there in center field, I got saved. He said, I thought that Jesus just died for the Gentiles. We got some preaching that today, don't we? But he said, this worker, personal worker, said she took the Bible and opened it up to John 3:16, said, read it. And read it, said, now read that word right there. And she pointed to whosoever. She said, that means whosoever. Jesus died for Jewish boys just as he did for Gentile boys. And God saved him. And later, when he'd get married, his wife would get saved in one of the crusades. But his father disowned him. His father turned him out as if he didn't exist anymore. A month and a half before he finished. If you ever have a chance to hear, what's his last name, Steve? Strahan? Stan? Yeah, Strahan or something like that. But if you ever get a chance to have him or hear him, I'll tell you, what a testimony. Listen, Jesus Christ died for the world.
Amen.
And this Samaritan woman, makes no difference whether you a harlot like her a more wicked person or a good moral person. You still have to go by way of the cross. You still have to go through the blood. And the one that engineered it all was Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Father, thank you for the hour you've given us for the blessings of life. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who died on Calvary for our sin. Go with us this hour. Help us, our Father. Guide and direct us. And use us for your glory. Bless this church, the service tonight, tomorrow. And oh, God, thank you for this pastor and the friendship over the years. The one here today, Lord, may not be saved. I'd pray, Lord, they'd get to God before you, before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.